Welcome to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat and at Twitter at C70. With me, Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily at a Medlock1 on Twitter. Before we get into it, I would say again, we thank you for the rating and reviewing. Still looking for enough to register on iTunes, but we did get another review this week and glad of it. Our reviewer commented on the sound quality. I apologize for any problems there because I don't know what I'm doing putting this stuff together. So I'll see if I can tinker with it and make it sound a little bit better. He also said we went long, but you know, Alan and I, we tend to talk a lot. So we'll try to cut it down this week because honestly, Alan, there ain't much fun to talk about with this team right now. The Cardinals just wind up giving up 8 runs in the 8th inning and losing 10-0 to the Rockies. They lost they lost 2 of 3 to the Dodgers. They lost 2 of 3 to the Giants last weekend. It's been a kind of miserable week, hasn't it?
This sure has. All the flaws are really being exposed, and as a fan, this week kind of stinks because you're sleep deprived. You watch the late night games. You know, I was up till 1:15. You know, on Tuesday, and for a sour end there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is the more realistic Cardinal team we're seeing now that this team is, or if this is just you're playing better teams and you know they're really pointing out your weaknesses. You know, they're just so dysfunctional, you can't really tell right now, but it's definitely a downtime, and I'm hoping some changes are coming to kind of kickstart some things.
Hopefully. And I'm going to say, we're doing this, like, say, 10:30 Friday night. I mean, we're just going to kind of toss our normal conventions out the window and not worry about our segments and stuff and just kind of talk about this team. And let's start with what the problem was tonight. And that's the offense. And the offense has been a struggle for some time now, but definitely this week. And, you know, you ran into Clayton Kershaw. You're not going to score a lot of runs there. But, you know, Carlos Martinez has the, you know, 9 shutout innings against the Giants, and they can't score for him there. He had, 7 innings of 2-run ball, and then he gave up a run in the 8th, made it 3. But Nothing for him here. The top of the lineup just seems like it is stuck in molasses or whatever the problem may be. I mean, how do you fix this? I mean, I don't, because it's a people, you know, we're talking about Dexter Fowler. We're talking about Matt Carpenter. We're talking about people that really can't go anywhere, can they?
No, and there was the headline on that, on the article the last couple of days is, they're considering moving Fowler in the lineup. Well, that's just what the headline said, because in the post game and even in the article, Matheny made it clear that that's not going to happen, which I honestly agree with. There's more to Fowler that we can get into in a little bit. What I think the problem is, it's in one of our Twitter questions as well. I think that's the whole reason, and they may have mapped it up before the game tonight about why Diaz wasn't playing, but I think that they played Garcia just to have somebody in that 2 spot to see if they can kickstart and, you know, produce. Carpenter seems to be striking out a lot. He's still, when you look at his numbers, are good. But I don't know what a quick fix would be. I think that they really need to shore up the number 2 spot. You could tell that there's a weight lifted off Diaz's chest and shoulders whenever he was moved down in the lineup. Mm-hmm. He started to hit. And you've seen improvement since he's moved down to that 6-7 spot, which I'm glad to see, you know, for him, because I was really worried that this is going to be a full season of just a struggle in and out, and you just looking like a completely different player by, you know, the strikeout rate that he was showing and the balls that he was chasing. As far as Fowler goes, there's times like in the Rich Hill game, which I thought they capitalized well. I thought Wong's hit was big, kind of a backbreaker in that situation. But Fowler's at bat. You know, he had just walked the previous hitter, and Fowler's at a 1-0 count and goes swinging and pops up. To me, it just looks like he's just trying to do too much. Health is going to come into question, and we can get into that later. And his numbers have drastically gone down since what we thought was a shoulder injury. And just like we can go back to that night it happened, I was really concerned about that. I was like, these are one of these things that can linger. So I hope that's not going to be a situation all year. I really don't know what can get him going. It just seems like it has been, you know, they're just moving through mud right now. And I don't know a quick fix. I just hope that things kind of turn around and Fowler becomes the hitter that he is and start drawing more walks. And maybe that can get us back on track a little bit.
Now, since Fowler went down with the injury, he's hitting 163. He's got 9 walks in that time period. You know, that's 10 starts, 14 games, 53 plate appearances, sorry. You know, there's moments that he's had some flashes because, you know, that counts those games that he pinch hit for, drove in the winning run, you know, there in Atlanta, Miami. He's had, you know, the big game against the Giants. I mean, he's had a couple of games in there, but you're right. It just doesn't feel like... Then again, I mean, he struggled beforehand, too. So it's kind of that, you know, how much is it the shoulder? Because he did look like he was coming around, then he got hurt.
Sure.
You know, is that the case? You know, what we haven't seen yet, and again, it's difficult to say that it would matter, but nobody has hit well on that two spot. And I think somebody had it pointed out, you know, maybe it was Bernie Nicholas, how, you know, somebody like Colton Wong would hit in the leadoff or second spot and be like, under 200 and go hit somewhere else in the lineup, and he's hitting like 350, and he wasn't the only person. There's 3 or 4 like that. Well, we still haven't seen, and again, I don't know that it'd make any difference, but we still haven't seen the Fowler-Carpenter combination that we saw that one game where Matheny made out the lineup and then Carpenter got suspended. They've never put that together, and I don't know if there's a really great three hitter. I mean, Stephen Piscotty's obviously not it right now.
No.
So I don't know that would make any difference, but heck, it can't be any worse. I mean, this is an offense that, you know, when your 5, 6, 7 hitters are carrying your team, you're not going to get very far.
No, and you're exactly right as far as that goes. I would love it, when the season started, I was big on, hey, let's just put Carpenter in that three spot, let him take over that Holiday role, leave him there. And, you know, some of the advanced statistics say that Carpenter's more suited for the two spot. I like the fact that Diaz was there. I liked the makeup of the lineup. It's just never seemed fluid all year. Seems like Diaz has kind of been pressing all season. You could really tell he just looks different. His body language is different after moving out of that two spot. You know, a lack of pressure. I think he's carried it into the field. I think he's playing really well. Numbers are coming up. It just seems more like the player we saw last year. And to back to it, though, I would love to see that combination now of Fowler-Carpenter. And I think that we may see that soon, but you're right. I'm not so sure Matheny thinks he doesn't have any comfort in the stigma of that three-hole right now with anybody. I mean, I would almost – it wouldn't surprise me if they tried it tomorrow and hit Molina third. Just one of those situations where it just fits. I don't think they're going to move up Jerko. I think they're going to leave him where it is. But I would almost see a situation where Molina would jump into that three spot if they rolled the dice and put Fowler two. And, you know, he's on a 15-game hitting streak, which I love. That's still a base hit in 15 straight games. But his overall numbers haven't really improved in that amount of time. You know, so... Yeah, I don't know. I think there needs to be – we can get into this down the line, too, of this – like we talked before the show. Like Sierra came in and was the kickstart. When is there going to be another situation? And it may be sooner than we think with this Piscotty situation. When are they finally going to go get Bader and bring in a guy just to come up and maybe inject some life to the ball club? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean – Yeah, like we were saying, there's a lot of people, and again, there seems to be a correlation. I don't know how strong it really is. That points out that, you know, that Sierra really was this catalyst for this team. Now, I still have a little bit of trouble grasping the idea that a guy that hit 7th and 8th for his whole time here was a catalyst for an offense. I mean, he definitely had, you know, and a guy that's hit just a couple of he would get a couple of hits, but no power, and these kind of things. I loved his speed. Don't get me wrong. If they wanted to bring him back up tomorrow, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I can't. I don't think it's just as easy as bringing him back up. I guess is what the deal is. I think this problem is much more ingrained. I mean, we saw Tommy Pham do so well, and he's kind of slacked off now that he's not playing every day. And it, you know, again, it's we saw a lot of stuff against Atlanta and Miami, and I know you and I talked about the schedule, and you know, you didn't want to talk about it too much, and I don't know how much the connection is because we saw them. Let's say they saw them struggling against the Giants, but the Giants seemed to have turned it around a little bit over the last few days. You know, the schedule has improved. There's no doubt about it. I don't know. Again, you're right. There's nobody to stick in that third spot. I can't see Molina. We saw it, you know, saw tonight, what? The Cardinals had 5 hits and 4 of them got erased on double plays.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't, I guess, was Grichuk's double. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's, of course, you know, you hit balls to Nolan Arredondo, that's going to happen.
Well, I was going to say that one was a missile off of Grichuk's bat, but it's to Arenado, and that play is going to get made.
I mean, that's...
No excuses, I guess.
I don't know what they do, and I really don't. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we were talking earlier in the year. We kind of thought, okay, they'll go out and get Josh Donaldson or something like that, but Jed Jerko's, you know, basically the only guy that's really carrying his weight right now. It's difficult for them, and there's not a...
Here.
I mean, you could move him to second, although Colton Wong's done fine. And you could move him to first, but what are you doing, Matt Carpenter? I mean, pretty much Jerko's got to play third. So, you know, you'd think that easy, and I say easy, I don't know how easy it would have been to get him, but still, it's the more obvious move to get a guy like Donaldson. Well, it's now blocked because Jerko is being so productive. So then, what does Mo do? Does Mo do anything?
I think they're going to do something. I think the Adams move, and we had talked about this a little bit last week, and Gould had touched on this, that it would almost felt like a precursor move to something else. Just like you and I were kind of talking off the, you know, just kind of on our direct messages yesterday, there's not a lot of guys right now that you would take over Jerko. I mean, it would have to be, you know, a big name, and you know, 5 or 6 of those aren't going to move. And you know, I have honestly, my mindset has changed to, I think they're going to improve in the outfield. I think they're going to go get somebody in the outfield, and it would not surprise me. I know this, it may have a different look next to Fowler pretty soon. I think I'm kind of a pro Grichuk guy myself. Piscotty is really frustrating to me. I think he almost needs a little bit of a readjustment period in Memphis at this point. And maybe you can let Pham play left field every day, and you can put Grichuk in right field every day. But then I think it's time that you do call up your Baiters. In my mindset, the only way that you recall Sierra right now is if Fowler goes on a 10-day deal. Mm-hmm. And to where he can play center every day, and you can lead off Wong. You can put him in the bottom of the lineup, not a lot of pressure. You know, you probably wouldn't get a lot of arguments either if he does come up, say Fowler's still on the roster, that, you know, he can play right field or left field. You know, he's doing that right now in Springfield. But I think the rope is really short right now with Grichuk. I think that may be one of the moves that are made eventually. Let's just say, you know, all these things come together, like I'm saying, Scotty does go to Memphis, and you can have a Pham, Fowler, Grichuk situation. Let Pham play every day. Finally do this, and let's see what if he responds. And let Grichuk share some time with maybe a Bader in that situation, because I do think they definitely need somebody new in the clubhouse to kind of shake some things up. Not like the rookies, not, but sometimes those call-ups do you know, really give the ball club life. And I think that's what you saw with Sierra. They really kicked it into gear that series. And it could be a competition factor as well, but they did take 2 or 3 from the Cubs as well. So there's some fine-tuning that definitely needs to be done. It's really stagnant right now and frustrating. And I think the first thing that I think that we're going to see adjusted is the bullpen, and I know that we'll probably get to that in a little bit. But I think there's going to be some moves. I think that there's going to be some incremental that are not, it's not going, it's going to be underwhelming to a lot of the fan base, but I think it's going to improve the team. I know, I don't think incremental is what they're completely aiming for right now. I think that they've stayed the course as long as they can with some of these guys, and I think there's going to be some moves made that not necessarily, it will help 17, but not with just 17 in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I looked over at the free agent, especially in the outfield, and I'm not seeing anything. I mean, people had a free agent in the year that you might trade for, you know, that kind of person that tends to be, and there's nobody that's really exciting, and usually the anybody that actually might be close to that is probably on a contending team. So it feels like you're going to have to do maybe a big move.
Yeah.
And for a guy that can come in for 2 or 3 years. Now, you know, the problem is, at least a little bit, is that things are getting tied up. There, you know, the outfield, you've got Piscotty and Fowler. So unless you trade Piscotty a few months after signing him into a contract, which seems unlikely, you know, those two guys are there. So if you bring in an outfielder that's going to play, you know, for the next 2 or 3 years, your outfield's going to be then set, which can be good and can be bad, depending on what you're looking at, because again, you'd like to see Sierra out there. You'd like to see Bader if he's not part of a deal. So, you know, where's that balancing act?
On the Go ahead.
Well, and on the infield, you're kind of the same way. I think everybody in the infield's got a contract for the next couple of years, and at least, if not longer. And Molina's got, of course, a 3-year deal after this year. You know, you've got a lot of fixed spots. And yes, when you make a deal, you're probably going to get rid of some of those, but there's not, you know, it's the downside of signing these people to these long-term, young players for long-term deals. They just, you know, if it doesn't pan out, or even if it does to some degree, but not as much as you'd like, you kind of get stuck with it.
Yeah, that's, you know, Zimborski was on with Kevin Wheeler this week, and he was bragging about how well the Cardinals have done and how they've stayed the course and are able to stay within striking distance of the Cubs. And I love that philosophy. I do like to stick with the plan. That's what's gotten you here. Mm-hmm. Let's ride it out. Let's see how this goes. But is the course, are we not at the end of the road with some of these names? You know, that's, you know, I'm a Grichuk guy. He could be a change of scenery candidate, you know, at this point. You know, he's has high upside. They still seem to think he's a superstar, but I'm not convinced they think that. And there's going to be some guys, if they're going to make these moves, there's going to be some of the core players that we've gotten used to the last 4 or 5 years that aren't going to be Cardinals anymore. So I think that that's one of the things that some people are overlooking. It's a couple interesting names. One, I had a great conversation about something today. One that I find is interesting is a team that is always willing to deal and is a former trade partner in Oakland. Is it possible to go get a Chris Davis? A lot of power. Athletic player. He's not great at anything other than hitting bombs. I think that's what they thought they were going to get in Grichuk. He's controllable through, you know, 2020. Maybe somebody they look at. Oakland, you know, you could probably get maybe A, one player off your roster, B, maybe somebody close, and maybe C, somebody else from the organization. If you can wheel and deal with those, and that's, you know, Bean will do that to improve the organization and to be that one step closer to, you know, what they try to do. Another one today, and I don't want to ruin an article, but Rusty Grove, that's, you know, one of the fellow writers, mm-hmm. with us, he threw out something interesting, and it makes a lot of sense, and it's something I thought about in the past, but never thought it would get traction. With the ownership situation in Miami, I still think they're going to want to move that albatross of a contract in Stanton. Is there any way – the Cardinals are flush with cash, and when you hear $300 million, yeah, you're like, that's ridiculous. But in terms of years, it's really not that ridiculous when considering what some of these guys are getting ready to make in the first place. What would it take to get that contract off their hands? How could you wheel and deal? I mean, what kind of your young pitching could you make? Heyman, in an article today, said no one will be willing to take that contract. Well, I think the Cardinals in a perfect position to do that. And I could see two things. Loria may want to give that contract away so it would up the value of the franchise. And two, the potential buyer may say, hey, we may need to move that contract before we're able to do it. So there's a lot of irons in the fire, but it's almost a match that could be perfect.
I'm not going to argue that. I will say on Chris Davis.
Hypothetical. That's on.
On Chris Davis, the thing that I would say there is just looking at his numbers. Just a glance at them. It tells me he looks like Brandon Moss to me. And it feels like if the Cardinals wanted that kind of player, they could have signed him. Have signed Moss this year. I mean, there's an argument to be made, and some people are making it on Twitter. I don't know how strong it is. I don't know how good it is. But, you know, if you have Matt Holliday on this team, Matt Holliday's doing fine in New York. Now, Holliday's DHing in New York. He's playing in a different ballpark in New York. And, again, going into the season, Matt Holliday was just going to be a bench player and an occasional outfielder. I mean, if Matt Holliday's on this team, we never saw Magnus Sierra. I mean, that's just that kind of thing. So, I as much as Matt Holliday is doing fine in New York, I would temper that thinking that that would immediately translate into what's going on in St. Louis. On Stanton, I get what you're saying. I do think that, one, if Stanton went on the market, there's going to be a lot of other teams trying to take that on anyway. And so then you start getting into the talent bidding war or who's going to take on, you know, more of that contract, whatever. And I don't know if the Cardinals can win a talent bidding war. Maybe, depending on who is out there. But on the other side of that is I think if I'm the new owners coming in, I want somebody that's the face of this franchise. And if they get rid of Stanton, who is it? Ichiro, I mean, a guy that, you know, a 40-plus-year-old guy that's your backup outfielder. You know, obviously, if you still had Jose Fernandez, that would be a little bit different story, but you don't.
Yeah. And Yelich may even not be that player yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's we haven't even gotten to that, and we've named three or four of their guys. So that says it all right there.
Yeah.
So we watch baseball every night and didn't even get to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
You got Yelich.
Yeah, you may be right.
You got Ozuna.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a couple of guys, but are they the guys that you want to market that you think you can sell tickets like you could with a Stanton? I don't know. I mean, like you said,
in such
guys,
a fickle market. No.
And the good guys might want to get that off the book. I get that, but my feeling is, especially with the money that baseball pours into every team with internet rights and all that kind of stuff, a new owner knows what they're getting into. I think they would be not likely to flip Stanton immediately, and maybe in a couple years, but And it could be easily wrong. And I mean, obviously, you'd like to have that kind of power in the lineup. It's a pretty impressive power. Of course, you also have to try to keep him healthy, which can be an issue in itself. I don't know. And I don't know if this team needs, you know, obviously, they could use a power bat. But, you know, we saw last year, that wasn't the end-all of everything. It'd be kind of nice to have just an overall hitter. Maybe a guy that's only going to hit you 15 to 20 home runs, but could hit, you know, 30, 35, 40 doubles and have an average about 285, 290. I don't know who that is. You know, in years past, you'd start looking at the Rockies and trying to start picking off from there. But, you know, when they're leading their division,
That lineup's good. If they pitch, they'll win.
Yeah, I mean, they're not likely to do that. We talked a little bit last week about we didn't talk here. I guess it was on Gateway. I mentioned that apparently a scout was in town to look at Tyler Lyons' rehab spot from Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, can you make a deal with Seattle? I mean, that's a team that's struggling this year. Although they don't have anybody, you know, all their pitching is gone. Can you make a deal with them to bring in a bat? I don't know. I mean, that's something you want to look at.
Well, I immediately, after I heard that, I looked at their roster to see what would be something that you could get. The skill set of Cano is going to help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Cano. I don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know how well he would play in the Midwest. You know, I don't mean as in quality of play. I don't know how well his mindset would play in the Midwest. But it would be entertaining. There's no doubt about it. But Seattle's another one of those like kind of lost organizations where you never know what they're going to do. So, you know, I don't know. Speaking of, you know, upgrading at shortstop, I've always liked Segura. And but he could be their best player right now. Mm-hmm. So you either sell high on him, but is that greatly an upgrade over Diaz? You know, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. There's just so many irons in the fire that it's, I don't know, it's just strange.
Yeah, you're looking at their roster, it'd be kind of funny to see Nelson Cruz playing outfield for the Cardinals, wouldn't it? you know, let's see what his contract is. You just look at him, and that's the kind of guy we were talking about. You know, he's hitting, you know, he hits 280, 290, he hit 300 a couple years ago.
35 bombs,
you know. 20 to 30 doubles, 40 homer. I mean, it's an all-around player that would be the kind of guy you would like. That's, you know, that being said, you know, he is playing DH for them probably for a reason. And you cannot do that in St. Louis. I will say he's a free agent after next season. And, you know, his contract, he's 36 this year, he'll be 37 next year. He's getting $14.2 million both years. You know, I think that's doable for the Cardinals. And I think you could probably, I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched him play defense. I mean, everybody obviously has the 2011 in their head about him playing defense. But, it might be worth sacrificing it. And it is a short-term thing. It's this year and next year. Obviously, that's no Tyler Lyons for Nelson Cruz doesn't work. Don't get me wrong.
Something
different. But, I mean, that's, it would seem to me as in a team that's struggling this year, I don't, you know, Seattle had high hopes, so I don't know what their plans are now for next year after seeing what happens this year. But, you know, Nelson Cruz is a guy that could easily be moved to somebody. And it would feel like a guy that could help the Cardinals, but that's just initial brainstorming. Now, what's going to have to happen for the Cardinals, and let me, before we move on to the pitching, let's do the last little bit of the hitting. Something's going to have to change pretty soon. Jose Martinez went out on his rehab assignment, started today, I believe. So we're looking at 20 days from now, which is, you know, what, basically the middle of June, June 15th, if not before. Jose Martinez has to be on the Cardinals roster. Now, he does have options. They could option him down to Memphis if they wanted to when he's got the rehab over with or if it didn't work. But if not, they're going to have to decide, you know, do they get rid of a reliever and go 13 hitters? Do they remove Tommy Pham? You know, what happens when Jose Martinez is ready to come back?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. They made it sound like it was going to be a while, which in theory, when he does come back, will be a while, you know, in the middle of June. But, I'll be curious to see how they play this. Some of the moves have been head-scratchers that they've done so far, so I'm not really sure. He would seem like to be the odd man out in a situation to where, you know, the fam's back, and that was his, you know, it was between a fam Martinez type deal. I don't see them moving fam back. I just don't see him spending any more time in Memphis. I think his next move would be probably be another organization. Not that they would release him. You know my feeling about that, and they're not going to do that with guys. But you know, I think he would be involved in whatever upgrade they try to do. Or I'm not convinced that they're not ready to give him some at bats just to see. You know, I think they're trying to find some spots for him. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see this Piscotty situation. Did you see what happened tonight?
I did not.
Okay, he is he left for personal reasons today, a family matter. He had to head back to California to take care of some things. And there was no move made. And you know, you never want to speculate on any of these things. I'm really down on Piscotty right now. You know, I know that we had talked about it, but from the middle of last year till now, he's hadn't been very good. And that it's at the worst time because their outfield's terrible. They, you know, no one's hitting. They're giving away runs on the defensive side at all three positions, and it's just not good. I'm really down on him right now. I'm more of the Grichuk camp and always have been. But, you know, I think you could have a situation where you have two different, you may have a different look on both sides of Fowler before too long. I don't know. There's just, it just seems to stay how they are and to be incremental, I would like, just because I have faith in the organization in improving, and they know what they're doing. But I wouldn't be shocked if you called me tomorrow to say, hey, have you heard about this eight player deal? You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's right there. We're right there on one of those decisions being made. And, you know, I don't know. It just feels like they know they're in it, that the National League's not great, that you can stay in this with probably a marginal team the whole time. That also cuts into any trade partners, though, which they typically don't trade within the National League anyway. And I think I think that happens with a lot of teams that they don't trade within the same league and definitely same division. But that may cut down on some trading partners in areas of improvement. But I don't know. It seems like there's going to be another logjam when Martinez comes back, and I don't know. To me, Piscotty would be the odd man out, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, with contract, it makes it very difficult. And without it, you know, and you're right. I mean, maybe there is some idea of sending him to Memphis and such. I mean, it worked. You know, we sent it to Grichuk. It happened to Wong. It could easily happen to him this year. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see. Shoot, I had an idea. It left. Oh well. Yeah, I think Mo's not been a guy that's made big deals in the past. I mean, every once in a while, of course, we remember 2011 and a couple others. But, you know, it really is usually more incremental. But I don't know that this team doesn't need a pretty solid shakeup. And that does take us over. Obviously, the only part of this team that actually is working is starting pitching. You know, the starters have got, less than a 2 ERA over the last 10 games or something like that. It's crazy. But the bullpen hasn't followed suit. You know, I will admit I have been big on the Sokolovich bandwagon. That bandwagon is losing members by the day, and I'm probably going to have to, acknowledge that. I think that at one time Sokolovich's, you know, he'd had a couple bad outings, but it kind of skewed his numbers. But as of late, I mean, you saw him tonight. It didn't look good. And of course, that's in Coors Field. But it's not the first time. It's not the last, probably. You know, Jonathan Broxton is not trusted to do anything besides, get post-game meal ready or something. Matt Bowman is starting to struggle a little bit. Tyler Lyons has come back, but he's only pitched an inning. And as much as I like Tyler Lyons, obviously, you don't know exactly what you've got there. We've even seen a little bit of stumbles out of O, although I think, you know, if you're talking about people you trust, it's Rosenthal, O, and, you know, maybe Kevin Sechrist. That's about it for the bullpen, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. I think that will be the major shakeup, and we've said that from day one. They do it every year. Wherever they are in the standings, they shake up that bullpen. I think it may be in line for a major shakeup pretty soon. I know this is cart before the horse, but the Duke news is big if he could come back. You know, but that's not till August.
Yeah.
There was a part of me today when I saw that Omber was put on the DL. I don't know the details behind it. I meant to talk to Kyle today and see what was going on. But I wondered if that wasn't a precursor to him being up here pretty soon, because they had talked about having that reliever. But that, and then I started thinking again, that spot, I think Marco was up here before too terribly long. He's done well as a starter, but I still think that he may be long for the bullpen. So I'm just curious to see how they do it and how they're going to improve a little bit. In-house, I think that there may be some, they go out and get a few pieces, though, to fill those slots. And, you know, back to your Sokolovic, you know, how we were talking about it, he may not go claimed right now if they were to try to send him down. Where, you know, a week, 2 weeks ago, I'd have said there's no way that's going to happen. He'd never make it through waivers. But I'm not so sure anybody would claim him now. So that may say it all right there.
Yeah. That's pretty reasonable. I mean, especially if you did it soon after this outing here at Coors. It's very possible that he wouldn't go claimed. And if he did, I guess you'd have to say so be it. Yeah, I mean, Gonzalez has looked good. Again, I don't think anybody's taking over a starting spot on this rotation anytime soon. Everybody seems to be doing pretty well. You know, we still hold our breath on Adam Wainwright, but, you know, he's not going anywhere.
No.
And all the other starters are pretty good. I mean, obviously, Michael Walker had a hiccup last night. We'll see if that is a hiccup or if it's a strand, a start of something.
Well, and you know, the thing is on that, too, you know, he had 11 days between starts, you know, until his, you know, the one earlier or last weekend. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't seem as sharp, but he threw well. Like yesterday, he fooled guys on 96 mile per hour fastballs that were nice, one in and one up. And he fooled guys changing their eye level both times. That was an intriguing. I thought he looked good until he ran into the roadblocks. But I didn't realize he was already so high in his pitch count in that fourth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that you can kind of pin that on maybe Matheny a little bit to, you know, not see the signs of trouble there. Maybe that, like I said, may go back to excuse making, but I can't really blame Walker for that. You know, didn't get a couple of big outs and then gives up that you pointed it out perfectly. You know, Puig with the excuse me swing, base hit, and then the Maeda who files off five or six pitches, then finds grass down the line. You know, sometimes you're just like, well, throw your hands up, can't do anything about those. And those are what really cost him. At one point before, and I think it even may have been game one or two of the LA series, they had six consecutive quality starts. They were 1-5 in those games, and that's just terrible. You know, that's complete lack of offense. Awful.
Yeah, I mean, you can only do so much, but. You know, then again, you get in, and that's why the Cardinals have played seven extra inning games this year. They played a total of seven last year, I mean, through the whole season, and they've already gotten seven so far this year. In fact, 13 inning games in the last week, and part of that is because the pitching is keeping everything close, and the offense is just doing just enough. You know, I just feel like, you know, you've got, you know, like you said, you got Marco Gonzalez, you've got Luke Weaver, I don't think that Rowan Wick's quite ready yet. You know, maybe Arturo Reyes, although you have to start working about the 40-man roster on that guy at least. I think there's a lot of people in Memphis that could do the job, and I think it's about time to see what some of them can do. You know, maybe it won't be any different, but you know, we continue to just run out a couple of guys. And you can't, I mean, you know, Brett Cecil started to look a little bit better and then, you know, came in yesterday, well, down one and immediately gave up, you know, what, two more runs. You just can't do that. And then unfortunately we don't have, you know, those arms are going to have to pitch at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, you know, things can happen like tonight.
Yeah, that's Cecil is getting into Johnny Peralta, Matt Adams, Twitter. Mm-hmm. Territory of just getting beat up, you know what I mean, along the fan base, and it's not good. But yeah, they've got to throw him. I mean, they've got to work those problems out. When I say roster shakeup, he's not going anywhere. I mean, they've got to fix him. They've got to fix him because he's going to be one of the mainstays. You know, Rosenthal, O, like you said, maybe Segrist and Cecil, maybe the only ones that are around before too much longer. You know, Bowman's going to have a lot, quite a few more bad outings before anything is done on that. But he sure did give up a lot of hard contact tonight. And I understand it's in Colorado, and I understand the circumstances, but he had one strikeout and three hard hit balls.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get people out. I mean, we talk about that like, you know, talking about last night when Madeira, you know, fouling off a lot. You've got to get a ball past a pitcher. You know, I think that's part of it. You've got to make some pitches. And I know that was walking out the bullpen, but I don't know. I think that it just feels like they've got – that's the easiest way to do that. I mean, they could get rid of Broxton, they get rid of Sokolovic, whatever, bring up some fresh arms. And that's only going to do so much. I mean, again, the bullpen did not lose tonight's ball game. The bullpen did not lose – well, I guess that's probably the only game this week that maybe they didn't lose. but mainly, I mean, you think – like, say, you look at the Kershaw game, you look at the other games, you know, the offense just isn't there. And eventually it's going to burn on the bullpen.
Sure.
And we're starting to see that a little bit. So, I don't know. I think that there needs to be some sort of maneuvering. There needs to be some sort of, we're not going to take this type of stuff. But we were saying that before the Atlanta series and the Marlins series. And didn't really see it. I mean, you saw Sierra come up, and you saw things, you saw things like that. But it was more of a necessity thing, not a creativity thing. And it seems like there's little chance that until you get into July, which may or may not be enough. I mean, that's the kind of thing. You look at the Cubs have now moved into first place, and while they've lost some games, and it's still only. If they lose tonight and they're trailing the Dodgers, it's only a game behind, it kind of feels like those basketball games where you see the underdog, like in March Madness, mm-hmm. You know, 15 seed, and they're leading all the way through the first half, and then but as soon as that better team ties it up and then takes the lead, the game's pretty much over. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
The underdog doesn't have. Yeah, that's usually where they've worn out, and they don't usually come back again. And that's what I get a little bit of a feel now with the Cubs. It's like the Cardinals didn't put them away when mm-hmm. they had the chance. And again, the Cubs are still not hitting on all cylinders, but once you put them in first place, it becomes a little bit more difficult to see them not winning the division, like we said. And then, you know, who knows? You know, if they get hot, they just run away with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of pitches on the Cubs starters' arms right now, and I think that may be pretty telling about where they are. And you know, I fully believe they're going to be a major player at the deadline. And like Chris Archer, I think will probably be a Cub before it's all said and done. And I think that they're going to be pretty good. But I know what you mean. It's just one of those, you're just like, okay, you've got to hang around. I don't think Milwaukee has any intention of winning. Mm-hmm. So I know that sounds stupid, but you know, they're building and they're not going to change course. Yeah. You know, it's going to stay that way. And I mean, they'll probably ship out even if they're in the same boat right now. They may still move out pieces because that's the game plan. So it's going to be a two team race, I would assume. I completely agree with what you mean, though, as far as hanging in there. Just hang in there, but if the Cubs start playing better and you don't play any better, it could be an 8-game lead, you know, before you know it, you know, into June, July. So you got to improve. You got to stay the course. You've got to stay in it. And some of these losses are just lifeless, and it just doesn't feel like they're in it. And then you come back, some series they look like they can win the division. So it's just a very dysfunctional roster, which leads me to believe that something will change somewhere. There will be a reshuffling somewhere to help them stay in it. And that's basically before the season started. That's all I asked. I said, hey, if you can stay in it, in the wild card hunt until you can make a move to improve your team, I think that's a successful season. So hopefully we're still on track for that.
Okay, before we shift into our Twitter questions, some of which we've already touched on, but we'll get into that. Kyle is not with us this week. He told me to tell everybody he was still mourning Luis Robert signing with the White Sox, which was a crazy day on Saturday. If you weren't on social media, you know, the idea that it was broadcast by a changing Instagram profile pic was kind of strange, but apparently accurate. Also, Kyle's been working a lot of hours, so we won't blame him and have him come in this week. But let's talk a little bit about Roberts not sailing and what that means. I mean, you know, we've talked about it on the show a lot. Everybody that's listened knows that this was that perfect storm for the Cardinals, and they didn't get it done again. And you start to wonder. I mean, again, we don't know the bids. We don't know if they outbid the White Sox or the White Sox up at the Cardinals, whatever. It's just, and Tara and I talked about it last week on Gateway, the Cardinals are having a lot of hard time nailing their pitch down and really finalizing things with people. They just kind of, you know, even if the money is good or better, they just can't get people to come play in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, it's seems to be a problem. They've lucked out on some of the names that they didn't get. I guess Hayward, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But, you know, Price, you know, he could be damaged goods at this point. But, yeah, this is the one. This one kind of hurts just because of the scandal, you know, of the hacking. You know, that's what bothered me more than anything was – this kind of makes June kind of a wash. You're not going to – I mean, you're going to have to really, find a diamond in the rough from, you know, because everything's stacked against you. So, yeah, it's difficult, and I ultimately wasn't that surprised. I don't know from the beginning, Badler said that he would be a White Sox. And then after it's signed, you look at the roster and you're like, we may have been getting our hopes up for no reason on that. I think the Cards knew that they were in it, but I think that it may have been a necessity of, following the other Cubans. And I think their sales pitch was honestly, hey, you could be the final piece to our rebuild. And, you know, the two of us had spoken to Kyle about this about a month or so ago, and I'd brought that up to where they may feel like they're a Luis Robert piece away from being, you know, pretty legitimate next year. And they could have sold them on that. You know, that's kind of how the Cubs got Hayward. So, not making excuses for the ball club, but it is painful to lose out on some of these guys, but sometimes it may have been for the better. And sometimes guys, you know, just may not. They may have a better option. You know, we never know.
Yeah, I mean, it takes two to tango. I mean, the Cardinals have offered significant money in the past, and the player didn't take it. That being said, it is difficult to, you know, if they were shy $4 or $5 million, and we don't know what the bids were on Robert, but you know, if they were shy $4 or $5 million, it's difficult to think that they shouldn't have gone ahead and done that because of the talent that he was and because of all the situation. But they didn't, and we'll have to wait and see whether that was a good idea. All right, let's hit these Twitter questions, and then let's see if we can't call it a night. Scott, Texas Card Fan 1, bringing us his brand of Twitter justice, if you will. first question is, do you think George Sulker is an appropriate name for Carpenter? I've been in the – I mean, we know ever since Matt Carpenter tried to stretch that double into a triple on Saturday night, Saturday night, if he just stayed at second, you know, you'd like to think you got a chance to win the ballgame. He's thrown out at third. Ever since then, that backlash about Carpenter has been out there. And let's be clear. Carpenter's a very good player. Carpenter's a guy that's still helping the team, although his average is not what you'd like to see. That said, Carpenter has his idiosyncrasies, and one of them is griping about the strike zone. I don't think I would call him George or Jorge Sulker or whatever that's supposed to be from Scott, but there's that attitude plays when you're hitting 270 with 30 homers. It doesn't play as much when you're hitting 230.
Sure. And for the longest time, we gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was generally right on his complaints on the strike zone. But now it's about everything he misses. And he didn't handle the situation of the base running gaffe very well. Yeah. Instead of, you know, I always thought he would be an I thought he'd be a good guy. I'm not saying that he's not. I mean, I really like Carpenter, but stay and wear it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't leave. Don't avoid questions about it, and then come up with an answer that was actually really bogus. You know, 3 days later. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of stupid. He's wearing the he's definitely wearing the target right now. The Twitter target on his back. Maybe justified. You know, he's he's the leader of the club, and he took it over from Holiday. So, you know, I don't know. There may be a little bit of justification in that, but yeah, things are pretty hard on him right now.
Yeah, they're not going to trade him. You could make the argument that they should, just because of what he would bring back and
It would clear some things up. I mean, I think that, I like Carpenter as a player, and I think he has improved at first base. But, it is I don't even know how to say it, but there's a lot of the reasons things don't move as smooth because Carpenter's where he is.
Yeah.
And, I think you're going to have to build around that as opposed to maybe removing that.
Scott's next question is, does it seem like the Cards have regressed since their 6-0 road trip? We kind of talked about some. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not playing perfect ball, so yeah, there's some regression there. Watching this team, and of course we're biased, we see it, we just saw it today or whatever, but it doesn't feel like this team is, you know, it's not like they're playing well and just not getting the breaks. They're not playing well. So, if you want to say they've regressed, I think that's fair, and I don't think it's all related to just the competition.
No, it's the bats have gone silent. You know, there's no doubt. Starting pitching is the only thing right now that has been acceptable. Defensively, they've improved a little bit. I think the infield defense has improved enough to really show how bad the outfield defense is. I can agree with that. I mean, they come back. You win those six. You come back. You take two or three from the Cubs. And I really thought that they would be able to play well. But then you lose, the two to Boston. Then you lose two out of three to San Francisco. And your one win was on getaway day where your bats kind of finally came to life. And then you win one to where there can be an argument that the Dodgers lost it and the Cardinals didn't win it because Hill was not very good. So I don't know. It's just kind of a downtime right now and feels a lot like that first, 12-game run in the beginning of the season where they left New York and you wonder if there wasn't some major changes, as maybe a firing or something wasn't going to come because they just had no life. And, I don't think we're to that point now, but I think that we're kind of at the end of the rope on some of the guys, specifically the bullpen, maybe some outfield. And, all signs are starting to point that those are going to be two of the areas that they improve.
Scott's last question, we've kind of really addressed it. It talks about Sierra. The Cardinals were a better team with Sierra in the lineup. Now they look clumsy and awkward. How can Mo not see this? And I think Mo sees that. But again, trying to make that tie can be difficult. Uncle Frank, F.R. Robinson, 1957. With Marco Gonzalez on rehab, Simon, is Broxton's time with the Cardinals now on the clock?
Calls out Broxton, but I do think Marco coming back is going to cost somebody a job.
Yeah.
I think that Broxton will be the last one at this point that something's done. It'll be between he and Bowman. But I think everybody else, other than the ones that we had talked about, other than your Rosenthal, Segrist, and Cecil, just because of the contract. But I could see that. I could see that being Broxton's last stand. Sokolovich will be the first one to go. Bowman or Broxton would be second. I tend to think that it would probably be Bowman. And I don't know why. I think it comes into that veteran factor. But yeah, I think Marco coming back is going to lead to somebody without a job. Broxton, I'm not sure, but it would not surprise me.
Yeah, I could see Broxton going for somewhere along the way. And that, again, you paying him, but you know, you've already taken 2 months out of that. It feels like it's a situation where they could if they needed to, and it's getting very close to needing to if it's not there already.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie, Pink Daisy 08, has a couple questions. First one, what do you both feel about the outfield situation? I suggested last night that Fam could pick up what she subs for every day at this point. I know you've kind of talked about it, about the outfield here. It's difficult to not see this as Randall, as Grichuk, Fowler, Piscotty, just because of the contracts and what the Cardinals mm-hmm. want to see out of this. But that said, you know, you got to get Fam in there. You got to get Jose Martinez in there. It's a difficult situation all the way around. But I think we'll see some pitchers, at least some pitchers get released pretty soon.
Yeah, I agree with that. That'll be the first shakeup, I think, is the bullpen, because A, it's the easiest, B, maybe the most necessary right now. I think Fowler will hit. I think that he's safe. I think he's going to hit. I hope we get to the question here in a little bit why some people think, and I'm a little small part of that right now, why he's not hitting. But I think that that's where the first area of improvement will come, will be the bullpen. I know that she's a big Grichuk fan. So I think that may be a part of the, you know, part of her thought process right now. I think they're going to have to improve in the outfield. And I unfortunately think that Grichuk's times, Langosch had even spoken about this, to where this really feels like his last go around. They've got an extended look for him. Let's see what they can do. And that was, you know, April mm-hmm. when that report came out. So I don't know. You know, Piscotty, I can't say this enough, and I know it's kind of ad nauseum at this. He's really just gnawing on me right now. Yeah. I don't know what it is. He just does not. He's one of their worst players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that contract, I mean, that's. It's difficult to say, if nothing else, you think you could have gotten him cheaper after this year if this is going to keep up.
So. Yeah, to buy out those arbitration years, that says a lot. You know, so just one question, and I know that we don't want to get too far on this. Was Craig traded the year of the contract or the year after he signed it?
Year after he was
okay, and then it ultimately didn't go in until a year that he was a year within his time with the Red Sox too.
I think that's right, because his the contract ends this year.
Okay,
so that's 17. It was a 5-year deal, so 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, so kicked in at 13, so he may
not completely unprecedented, but very unlikely.
Yeah.
To do that, okay.
It would be surprising to see. And yeah. Again, I talked about this. It was Colton. Well, in the offseason with Colton Wong, and this idea that if you trade these guys after signing them to long-term deals, you're not going to get somebody to sign a long-term deal in the future.
Yeah, very true.
They're not going to believe that they're actually going to be here. I think that becomes an issue. The only other two questions I think we've covered, Cassie had another one about Cecil. How do you get him right? And do you see us making any bullpen moves or trades? We've talked about the bullpen. And then, yeah, bringing somebody in via trades always... John Moselock's motivation. I have no idea how to get Cecil right, and thought the haircut was doing it. last night, though, proved that's not the case. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like Fowler and Carpenter. You just, to some degree, keep them out there and hope they figure it out.
Oh, I agree. I mean, he's going to be one that's frustrating Cardinals fans until he turns it around, because they are going to use him. They're going to try to be selective, but he is going to have to pitch. And some of those are going to be in big spots because, you know, Matheny's mindset is, hey, if this second and third, you know, with one out, if he can get out of this, or first and second, one out, if he can get this double play, that's the jump start that he needs. And we're going to have those situations. Hopefully there's not so many that they blow up in the face. But that will be the situation. He's not going to get the start to every inning. He's not going to get the 5-run lead or the, you know, 3 runs down to you know, build up value and work on things. He'll be a frustrating, if he doesn't turn it around, he's going to be very frustrating. You'll start hearing about bad contract real quick if he doesn't turn it around, because he is going to get those big outings, unfortunately.
Yeah, probably so. Then our last question is why they haven't, comes from Nick underscore Barnhard, Nicholas Barnhard. Why haven't the Cardinals DFA'd Broxton? You know, really, I mean, I think we've got to go over that. I think the biggest part is the money right now. I think so. I mean, and Broxton had a run where he was doing all right, and that helped him out some. For a while there has been obvious, you know, I mean, Weaver was still rebounding, and Marco Gonzalez is just still like on rehab, things like that. There hasn't been necessarily an obvious spot for him, but I think that time is coming to a close. I think that, it just seems unlikely that you're going to see Broxton here. I wouldn't think by the All-Star break, but definitely not by the end of the year.
Yeah. I completely agree. And that's, like I said, maybe sooner rather than later. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some shakeups made when they get back to Busch. You know, get back to St. Louis next week, probably get through Memorial Day. Maybe even before then, being a day game, you may make some moves Sunday going into Monday just to kind of shuffle things around a little bit. But yeah, I think I agree with you on that. One thing, do we have any more questions?
Nope, that's all we got.
Okay. I wanted to cover one thing, and you can back me up on this one. I told the guys that I would talk at length about this. I thought the shoulder was an issue with Fowler the minute that he went down, and thought he probably should have been DL'd, especially after sitting out the first day. Should have went on the 10-day DL. I didn't think it would have hurt, and in hindsight, it would have been perfect because Sierra came up anyway, and he was just pinch hit duties. So probably should have went on the DL. If there's any lingering effects right now, shoulders do come back, and they do come back quickly, but it takes rest, and you can't have a lot of activity. It's probably going to be a complete shutdown. Somebody had asked and I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry if anybody's listening. I'll look it up after this, and I'll know. But had asked if he's not 100%. Do you think that's part of the issue? Shoulders are like that. And you guys, if anybody knows my background, I'm in medicine, and I've seen 1,000 shoulder scopes of every sort, and rehab, and I've been in post-op, and all kinds of stuff. And this is how it starts. These things never heal quickly if you're still active. So their doctors know immensely more than I do, without a doubt. I just didn't think it didn't make a lot of sense to not do anything from the beginning, especially if he's not healthy now. You can give him a rest. That 10-day makes a big difference now. Give it a week, you know, go 10 days, miss, you know, a week full of ball games. I mean, that's all you get. Maybe get Sierra back up here. But that does need to get cleared out. If he's not going to hit because of the lingering issues, we need to get that figured out sooner rather than later. So that's kind of the short answer so we don't go on all night. But that's what I wanted to get into because I had actually heard the same thing. And I just hope he's not playing hurt and we're going to be dealing with this the whole time because I think it could have been avoided.
Probably so. And there's no, it seems to be, I mean, it would not be surprising at all if he was hurt, and that's sad, but true. But we'll have to wait and see. It seems like a good enough place. I mean, again, this week has been kind of miserable. So,
yeah, the West Coast games killed me. Yeah. I mean, they're rough.
Yeah. Kind of nodding off already, you know, and they got a little earlier start tonight, so it has been a rough week. So Cardinals will, well, you know, I guess I should look at the schedule. Cardinals will come home and they'll play the Dodgers to after they get done with this set in Colorado, which is going to tax them quickly, especially since Adam Wainwright is going to go in Coors Field, and that could be an interesting combination this weekend. But they'll play the Dodgers at home, and then they will, as we turn the calendar, they play four with the Dodgers at home, then they go to Wrigley Field for three. So, hey, that should be a lot of fun next weekend. For right now, the Cardinals just got to focus on trying to figure out a way to beat the Rockies and then trying to beat the Dodgers.
Game by game.
Yep, you got to do it that way, and we'll see see what Mo has up his sleeve. So
Bold prediction time. The Cardinals, bad offense or not, will beat Kershaw on Memorial Day. Book it. It's going to happen.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. If it doesn't happen, tweet Alan and be sure to let him know about it. So, all right. Well, until next week, I'm Daniel. That's Alan. Night.